From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Aquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kunath Chish, Hawa Toyaksuk Nusum, Salama, for joining the conversation. On today's show, a preview of the traditional games, which kicks off this Friday here in Juneau. It's the 7th annual and will include more than 260 athletes from over 20 communities. Cancer Connection is having a fundraiser this Thursday, showing Olympic gold medalist Keegan Randall's film, along with a Q&A with Keegan herself. The Jack is here with the Arts Roundup and First Friday preview for April, and we'll meet an end-of-life doula who uses live music and supporting individuals in their final stages. Those conversations, plus Star Party and Savory Moment, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin Katka K Jin Tauk Anakaya Haanikach, Gunishish.
Good afternoon, and now in our community highlight today, this week's Tongass Voices.
You're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akkwan and beyond. Chagop Alfie Price was raised in a Tsimshian household. Today, he's a language learner and a teacher who believes in using the power of community to strengthen the language revitalization movement. Price has studied all three Alaska Native languages, starting with Tsimshian, the Tsimshian language.
There's a fellow that you probably know, Lyle James, who speaks Tsimshian, Chadkil, Tsimshian, among others. And before I started actively learning, he would greet me at the store or what have you in Tsimshian. And I sort of knew what he was saying, but I could not answer him. And I was a little bit embarrassed that this Tlingit man was using my language and I couldn't converse with him. Shagop Diwayu. My name is Shagop, which means wave maker. I started learning Tsimshian because it's the one I grew up hearing. And I know people, I know family and friends who want to learn. So that's why I started. Also, I had some prompts from my mom, who in her last few years, she started learning our language and teaching it to children. She was a guidance counselor at the elementary school in Metlakatla. And so I felt encouraged and, you know, I wish I'd started earlier when she was still around so I could talk to her on the phone or what have you, or FaceTime. And I was asked to be a, what do they call it, moderator or what have you, at celebration to introduce the groups. And I decided that I wanted to be able to introduce myself in all three languages. And so I set out to do that. And they're very different. You would think here in Southeast Alaska, where we're so geographically close, that our languages would be similar, but they're really not. All three are very, very different. Sentence structure is way different, and most of the sounds are different. So there was a couple of years where I was attending classes in all three languages and trying really hard to be able to be, you know, at least have the basics down where I could greet somebody in these languages, introduce myself, talk about the weather. It's pretty fun too when you find crossovers. Like in Chadkil, when we greet each other, we have a word that means like hey or hi. We say ja, ja, it's got that high tone. So whenever I see my fellow Chadkil speakers, we say, ja, ja, di tui, hello, my friend. And then I was in a Head Start classroom fixing computers one day, and they had posters on the wall of Tlingit words. And one of them was a lady holding her finger up to her mouth, like saying, shh, and it said, ja. And I just, I cracked up because, you know, maybe Tlingit speakers would see us Chadkil speakers telling each other politely to shut up when we see each other. I think one of my very favorite phrases in Chadkil is it's a parting greeting, digui stish, and it means return to me. And that's just really sweet, a sweet way to part a friend. Our Tsimshian group, we met in person every Saturday And then when the pandemic hit us, we had to stop meeting in person and switch to Zoom. So we invited our social media contacts, followers, to join us. And suddenly we had this huge group of people who wanted to learn. I'm not a trained teacher or a linguist. I never thought I'd ever have to learn the difference between transitive and intransitive verbs, but here we are. So we all know that our three languages are kind of in trouble. They're, you know, they might be considered endangered. So we definitely need more people to not just study them, but to use them every day at home, at the grocery store, what have you. I think the most powerful reason to keep at it for me and a lot of my friends is how healing it is for us as individuals in our spirits to reconnect with these languages because we learn a lot from them. You get an understanding, an insight into the worldview of our ancestors, of the way they view the world, the way they deal with each other. And there are a lot of lessons in our languages, and they really restore, they have restored my sense of worth and value. I know who I am today, where before I learned Semitic, I really didn't.
That was language learner and teacher Jagob Alfie Price for this week's Tongass Voices.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday, right here in Juno, their traditional games kicks off. It will have participation from 29 teams from over 20 communities across Alaska, Canada, and the lower 48. These games are competitive, but also the athletes root each other on to reach new personal bests. It's 12 different events. The event is free and runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Juno Douglas High School, Yada'akathle. The games will be also live streamed on Saturday and Sunday on Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's YouTube channel, and you can learn more about it all at traditionalgames.sealaskaheritage.org. And now, here to give us all the details, our coach Kyle Wuerl, plus parent and student athlete Consuelo Demert and Sammy Shea. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here. Wasa'iati, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Awesome. It's so good. This is going to be such an awesome event. And it's really great that you are all here to share a little bit about it. And sort of let's start with you, Kyle, and talk about the sort of the overview of the games. You were talking a little bit before because, you know, sometimes people hear Native Youth Olympics, but then we hear traditional games. Can you give us the background of how all of this sort of came together?
Yeah, so Native Youth Olympics refers to the sport as a K through 12 sport, and the annual traditional games is an event that also has a category for adults. So traditional games is encompassing of Native Youth Olympics, that's the distinction there. This is our seventh annual event. So Sea Alaska Heritage started hosting this annual traditional games about 7 years ago. The history of it in here in Juneau goes back a lot further. It was a event that was hosted through UAS Wuchin Club. And I think that history goes back another 7 years at least or more. And that was with Lyle and Colleen James and Janelle Cook and Amy Richards and several others and students at that time started that event as a campus event. And it was 7 years ago that Sea Alaska Heritage piloted the high school program that ended up working with UAS to start this larger event. And it's grown each year. When we first hosted it in 2018, I think there was 65 registered athletes. This weekend, we're going to have about 265 registered athletes. So we continue to see growth each year. Yeah, I foresee it to continue to grow in years coming. So we're going to have to figure out how to accommodate as it becomes a well-known event across Alaska. And we've had several teams from Canada and several teams from the lower 48 as well.
I know you have some folks coming in from Seattle and some other places down there and outside, right?
Yep. So we had we have two lower 48 teams. We have a Seattle team and then a Haskell Indian Nations University. They're coming as a college team. And actually, Sammy and I got to go visit their campus. We did a college tour and we did some demonstrations. So we had an exchange beforehand. So they're going to come now visit us in our homelands and participate in these games.
That's really cool. So yeah, you said there's going to be more than 260. It's middle school, high school, college, and adult athletes. And I know that we were talking about in the intro that there's 12 events, and we'll talk about some of those specific ones here in a second. And it's all based on ancient hunting and survival skills of Indigenous people. That's how the events sort of got started, right?
Yeah. So all of the events correlate to fitness needed to be a successful hunter. So there's games to test strength, agility, balance, endurance, and these are all qualities to be a good hunter. And so back in the day, they would play these games during the winter months when they were kind of stuck indoors and they couldn't get out and get that physical activity. And most of the games draw their origin, at least the ones that that are real well recognized, like the high kicks, draw their origin to the Inupiaq people in northern Alaska, the Inuit people in Canada, as well as the indigenous people of Greenland. So they are, most of them are Arctic sports, and that's another term for the sport is Arctic sports. But I think for us here in Southeast, for Tlingit people or really any Indigenous group, we really resonate with these games because they're all about community coming together, supporting each other. And we were also hunting and gathering people here in Southeast. So there's similar skills in the games that we also need here for survival.
That's cool. Let's talk to Mom for a minute. Consuelo, can you talk about the importance of getting Sammy involved in the games and what it means for you as a parent?
Yeah. Sammy's dad and I have been trying to work on getting him into a sport, any sport really. It's conflicting because we want him to be in a sport, but we also want it to be something that's encouraging and supportive and something that he can grow from and learn from, not just now, but in the future. So when we had found NYO, I kind of showed up and was like, I was only going to volunteer, but I showed up with my kids. And so when I showed up and was like, okay, we're going to sign up, you guys, and I had them sign up. And throughout that day, as I was volunteering, I felt the power of support, the power of positivity, and how just all of it, just like the whole thing, like just watching it, not even being a part of it, just watching it brought so much, I don't know, light into like, okay, this is exactly where I think that my child is going to grow and learn from, and just to see. And he jumped right in. He hasn't stopped since that day. He's been going to participating in the middle school practices. He then, you know, toured colleges with Kyle and in Albuquerque and
Kansas.
And then as soon as he got back, he got right into starting to practice with high schoolers because that's his next step is high school. And we've seen just a change in, you know, attitude and coming, like just being a person and speaking more and engaging more. Is there's definitely a difference in Sammy from day one to today. So
that's awesome. Okay, Sammy, so your mom talks about when you went to this event, she was volunteering, and did you see something specific that was like, I want to try that?
Not really.
Not really? But you just wanted to kind of do it all, or was it, did you just decide to jump in?
I just decided to jump in.
Nice. Okay. And so which events do you participate in?
One for high kick, Alaska high kick, and there's another one.
Do the scissor broad jump?
Scissor broad jump.
Okay. All right. So Alaska high kick, what is that? What do you do? What is the event?
It's where you have to sit down, grab either foot. The one that you grab, you have to,
opposite hand.
Your opposite hand, I don't really know how to explain
it. It is a little bit confusing.
Because sometimes it's easier to show it probably, but yeah. We are on the radio, so it's harder. It's no problem, Sammy. So can you explain it a little bit?
Well, your balancing hand, and then your other hand, you hold your opposite foot, and you got to balance on your hand and your free foot, and then hop off the ground and kick the ball.
And so, that's the ball that's suspended from the ceiling or somewhere in there. And is that height? Is that what is the competition? Is how high you can kick?
Yep. So they usually start a couple feet off the ground, and then they go in 3-inch increment or 4-inch increments, and you get 3 tries at each height. So the objective is to see how high you can kick. And so after each round, the ball keeps going higher and higher.
Yeah, I think that's the one that many people probably have seen before. It's such a visual, too, that a lot of pictures, they capture that because it's such a great feat to try to get the leg up in the air. And is that just must be so fun, Sammy.
Yeah.
To try to, like, do you ever fall backwards when you're learning?
Yes, I have.
Hopefully there's a mat or something or a friend to catch you when you're first learning. Because I know this is sort of this is going to be like your first games, yes or no?
Third.
No. Third. Okay. Third. All right. Great. Awesome. That's great. And then tell me about the scissor broad jump. What is that?
You have to jump off both of your feet, land on your right one. And your left leg kind of has to kick around your right foot. And then you just jump on the right foot again. And then you jump off of that right foot again and land on 2.
Okay.
And they measure how far you have gone.
How far you got. Okay. And are you learning at the same time, Sammy, like what this particular event correlates to in terms of hunting or in terms of the history of it? Do they teach you that at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell me what you know about that so far?
It's for the ice.
Okay.
When you're hunting for seal, the seals are in the ocean and you have to go on the ice. But if the ice starts breaking, that's Neil jump, right? You have to hop off the ice to kind of get around.
I love that. That's so you don't fall in, obviously, right? So
if you lose your balance.
Oh yeah, right.
So if you lose your balance, you have to retry and you only get 3 chances.
Okay. What about the high kick? What is that? Where does that come from?
The high kick?
Yeah.
Which one? There's...
Well, the one that you're doing.
Yeah, the one that...
1 foot. That one's just to tell if you have successfully gotten food.
Oh, okay. Okay. Awesome. That's great. That's really fun. I mean, you have a lot of fun doing this, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
And I was talking about how part of it is also rooting on your fellow competitors, right?
Yeah.
And so, and that must be a really fun aspect of this because you're not just like, you're not shouting in somebody's face, like I'm better than you or whatever. You're all trying to like help each other out and get better at and get higher up and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, that's cool. And have you made friends from different communities doing this?
Yeah.
Or I guess you will this weekend, probably. With 260 people, you're no doubt going to make some friends, I would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I know, Kyle, I also wanted to mention that are you still looking for volunteers?
We could use a few more volunteers. We could use a few more volunteers. We actually have our volunteer training tonight. So you can sign up online at our Sealaska Heritage or the traditional games.cealaskaheritage.org. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're interested in volunteering, you can go to that website and you can sign up and become a volunteer.
Yeah.
And they probably will end up reaching out to you too, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. It's so cool because, I mean, there's so many different events and there's so many different, I mean, the visuals of it is so cool. And like the history of it is really fascinating and learning like why that, testing that agility, right? So that you can get in and off the ice and make sure that you're not, you know, going to fall down or fall through. And it all relates to history, and bringing that back is so, it's so cool. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Gunath Jeesh, for being here today and telling us a little bit about it. I'm going to give the wrap up again, just so we can make sure we know when all these details are, because I also want to mention, Kyle, that, that I know this is, it's open to adults, and if non-native folks want to participate, they're welcome.
Yes, for sure. Everyone's yeah. welcome to participate, and, it's a free event to also spectate. So
yeah, free all around, free all around. If you can't make it and you're at home, you know, stuck doing something at home, you can watch it on Sea Alaska Heritage's YouTube page. So it's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Juno Douglas High School, Yada'akathle. The games will be also live streamed on Saturday and Sunday, not on Friday, I guess, on Sea Alaska Heritage's Institute's YouTube channel. And of course, you can learn more at traditionalgames.sealaskaheritage.org. I mean, I want to say I'm from the theater, so I always say break a leg, but I think in the games, you probably don't want to say that. So what do you say instead? Do you say something for good luck, or do you, what do you say?
Basically just good luck. Try your best.
Do your best.
Yeah. Do your best. Yeah. That's all you can do.
Don't fall. Yeah. Well, Gunath Jeesh, for being here. It's really nice to meet you all. Thanks so much.
Gunath Jeesh.
Gunath Jeesh.
Up next. Jeesh. Olympian and cancer survivor Keegan Randall's film will serve as a fundraiser for Cancer Connection this Thursday. We'll find out more next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. Whether it's kings from the chilly Copper River, coho from rocky southeast shores, sockeye from bustling Bristol Bay, or chum from the long, wide Yukon. If you fish for salmon, you'll hopefully wind up with some fillets to vacuum pack for the freezer or lay in the smoker. Few things can match that feeling of accomplishment, bounty, and gratefulness that comes with harvesting and putting up your own fish. And now, back to reality. You've got a mess to clean up. Cutting boards, knives, blood, and slime. But before you throw that dish towel in the laundry, you've got one more thing to take care of. It's big, it's perplexing, and a little gruesome. It's that pile of backbones. You know you have to do something with them. No matter how skilled you are with a fillet knife, there's still a lot of good meat on them bones. It's time for a party. A skinny fish party, wherein those salmon backbones are drenched in your favorite barbecue sauce and cooked to a smoky, crispy finish on a hot grill. Make a pot of rice and a salad, and you've got dinner. Everyone gets their own skinny fish, or two, and the satisfaction of letting no part of your harvest go to waste. As for the last of the last of your fish, put those bare bones in the garden. Broccoli, chard, and spinach can all use the calcium. Bury them deep, away from the neighborhood dogs and bears. Find full instructions for grilling salmon backbones at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
The This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The film Keegan chronicles the life of five-time Olympian Keegan Randall from childhood through her U.S. ski career to her return to Alaska. And this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Gold Town, Cancer Connection will be showing the film as a fundraiser, along with a special virtual Q&A with Keegan herself. Here now, Tana Peters, board member, cancer survivor herself, mm-hmm. and former colleague here at KTOO. We used to share an office together.
Yeah.
How's it going? Wasa iti. It's a pleasure to have you here, Tana. Nice to see you.
Gunesh Tish. Thank you for having me, yeah, Boston.
And we might have Cheryl, who might join us here in a minute. Cheryl Weinberg, who is getting stuck on the roads a little bit. The joys of live radio, but it's really nice to see you back in the KTO studios.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you ended up on the board at Cancer Connection.
Well, I, as you said, had cancer, actually. I had breast cancer, and I was a patron of the Cancer Connection, I guess you could say, if that's how you would call it. Cancer Connection is an organization right here in Juneau that does amazing things. And it's one of the only organizations that actually I found that gives money directly to cancer patients. There probably are a lot of them, I guess, but a lot of the money goes to research, which is fantastic and we need it. But it's really vital what Cancer Connection does because it supports directly the cancer patients in multiple ways, which I can tell you about. But my journey, I was just so appreciative of everything they did for me during that. And I am now cancer free, which is great. And
Yay.
Hopefully it doesn't come back. But that's kind of as good as it gets. And so I'm living a great life. And when the opportunity arose, they were looking for some new board members. And I, you know, jumped in. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, I know how to do some event stuff and this and that. So I jumped in with both feet.
I'm pretty awesome and I can help you. And so you're giving back, which is great.
Like
having used the services.
Hopefully, that's the plan.
And you're now a board member. So that's really awesome. So now this film, Keegan, and the opportunity came up to show it. And so mm-hmm. you all are doing it as a fundraiser. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Keegan is amazing. And everywhere that I have gone to talk about this, people are like, oh, well, I saw her speak. She's so vibrant, a great speaker. And so it'll be really fun to see her documentary. I just kind of pulled some strings and I was like, does anyone know Keegan's email? And we just reached out and she's just so lovely and amazing. She's like, absolutely, you can have the film, have a fundraiser with it for Cancer Connection. And then, of course, we were like, well, would you do a Q&A? And she said, yes, yes, I can't fly down, but I can do it virtually, which is fantastic. So all the funds are going to come right to the Cancer Connection. And of course, Gold Town is amazing. And they said, yes, please do it. So everybody just was like an amazing partner.
That's awesome. And joining us now, Cheryl Weinberg. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Boston.
Gonna cheese for being here. So I'm just gonna put you right in. Okay. And so tell us a little bit about like the importance of this fundraiser for Cancer Connection. We've talked a little bit about the movie, but I'm just curious about like this came about and it's $20, which doesn't mm-hmm. seem like a lot, but it's just an opportunity to give a little bit back to the Cancer Connection. And so tell me a little bit about the need for that.
I'm happy to do that. And I heard Tana start the interview, so I think I have a sense of where we are.
Great.
So one of the main things funds do, as Tana had said, is provide resources directly to patients. And that takes a couple of forms. So one is that we give we reimburse receipts up to $750 mm-hmm. a year per person, and that's every year that a person has the need. Then another major cost that we support is we provide an apartment in Seattle mm-hmm. for people who are experiencing treatment. So people may, it's a below market opportunity. If people can't pay, or if they need to extend their payments, we work with folks, but it's a very reasonable alternative. It's right at the hospital, Pill Hill. And so that's another major expense that our fundraiser helps to support.
That's awesome. That's
it's
really
fantastic.
Great.
I stayed there and anyway, you know, we can all get emotional. I could get very emotional, but it's to have that space with a kitchen, to have the ability to have like my mom could stay. It has like a anyway, it has two beds. It just has so much more than even an at cost. There's some like hotels and there's some other ways that you can get affordable rates, but it's such an amazing deal. And then it has so many layers of just like, and there's like a rooftop where you can, like as a healing patient, you know, just walk, you have to walk. You're just trying to, like they tell you to get a little bit of exercise. So even just like walking around that roof, I just, I've done it so many times.
Really sweet. That's really nice. Cause I know a lot of people go down there. I know we have some new doctors at Bartlett, which is great that we're able to sort of start to have some of those services here in Juneau. But it's still, it's a big cost and it's a big thing that happens to folks. So this kind of fundraiser is really good. So this Thursday, what can we expect happening Thursday? There's a give me the time and we're going to watch the film first. How long is the film?
The film is actually just a quick 45 minutes. So for those who don't want to watch a very long documentary, it's just 45 minutes. If you wanted something longer, don't worry. We're going to see kick in right after the film. It starts at 7 p.m. And so and then we're going to go right into it. Because Keegan has to pick up her son a little bit later. So we'll go right into the Q&A and then you can enjoy, you know, some other things with your evening after that.
It's also nice because when you go to the Gold Town, you get that awesome popcorn that they have there with the real butter. So, I mean, there's benefits to going to the Gold Town. There's benefits to supporting Cancer Connection. And so people can either buy tickets in advance or they can show up at the door.
Yeah, we have the tickets on Eventbrite. So it's just a platform. So you can just even search Eventbrite, Keegan, it'll pop up. You can also go through Gold Town. You can go through cancerconnectionak.org. But the easiest is probably just Google Eventbrite, Keegan, and it keeps popping up for me.
Yeah, and that's K-I-K-K-A-N.
Yes.
Right? So, and it's not Kicken, it's Keegan.
Yeah. Keegan.
K-I-K-K-A-N. Keegan Randall, 5-time Olympian.
I know.
And the movie is wonderful. I've watched a little bit of it. I haven't watched the whole thing, but it sounds like a really good movie and a great opportunity for a fundraiser opportunity to help out Cancer Connection. I mean, you could be charging $100, but $20 is a good deal. And so let's fill up the Gold Town on Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we have about a few tickets left, but I would recommend, you know, pre-buying if you can, definitely. Yeah. I know Juno likes to wait to the last minute, but you got 2 days. So get on there and buy your tickets. And then if not, we might have some at the door as well. So you can also come to the door.
That's great. Well, Cheryl, Tana, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about the Keegan Randall film. Keegan, it's this Thursday night, 7 p.m. at the Gold Town. Get your tickets. Search Eventbrite for Keegan and you will find your way in. And thanks so much for coming in. Gunath Cheesh.
Thanks, Boston.
Always so good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Awesome. Up next, Phil and Rochelle from the Juno Arts and Humanity Council are in the house to get us up to speed on First Friday and all things arts. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But now a little Lunar Star Party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosis with the Marie J. Planetarium. I'm going to talk about a lunar calendar. The time from full moon to full moon is 29 and a half days. That's called a lunar month or a lunation. If you have 12 lunations, you have a lunar calendar. And typically in a lunar calendar, you alternate months of 29 days with months of 30 days, because that averages out to 29 and a half days, which is the lunar phase length. Now, it turns out that five major religions all have their observances based on the lunar calendar. In Christianity, Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. In the Islamic religion, the Ramadan is the 9th to 10th lunar month that's bounded by the new moon. In the Hindu celebration of Holi, it's the first full moon of spring. In the Jewish tradition of Rosh Hashanah, it's the first new moon in autumn. And the Chinese New Year, the first new moon of the lunar year starts Chinese New Year. Now, it turns out that the lunar year is about 11 days shorter than the solar year that's most commonly used. And sometimes a lunar calendar will add extra days to correct that discrepancy. Otherwise, the seasons are going to change over time. This is Steve Kosis with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. A new month, a new first Friday, and that means a visit from Phil and Rochelle from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Yay! Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasa iati.
Gunashish for having us.
Of course. So April is here already. Can you believe the first quarter of 2024 is already over?
No.
What is time?
No. I'm not ready to confront that, so let's just change the topic right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, the topic is arts and First Friday, so let's start with First Friday because that's coming up. Who's taking it?
I will start.
Rochelle is starting.
Okay, so at the Jack and at the Davis Gallery in Centennial Hall, we are having two new exhibits opening this month. So at the Jack, we have one of our most popular favorite shows. We have the annual UAS Student Ceramics Art Show, which is a big hit every year. That's going to be opening from 4 to 7 p.m. And one thing I wanted to say is if you've ever been, then you know to come early because things sell out fast.
Yes. I learned that the hard way last year.
Well, you know, kids have parents and then the parents have friends. And then stuff goes fast.
Yeah. Yep. So you'll see mugs, bowls, sculptures, and all kinds of other awesome ceramic things. And then over at Centennial Hall and in the Davis Gallery, we have a new exhibit. It's called Juno Wildlife Portraits, Paintings and Photographs by Susan Watson and Christopher Grau. So this is going to include 9 acrylic paintings by Susan and 12 of Chris's photographs of Juno wildlife.
That's cool.
Yeah, that one's going to be really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, just a kind of reminder to everyone coming through the Jack for First Friday. The Centennial Hall Davis Gallery has reopened and we're having exhibits in there now kind of in tandem with the Jack Gallery. So if you're checking out the gallery show, always meander across the way to Centennial Hall for more art.
I mean, one of the best things to do is probably start at the Jack and then hit Centennial and then on your way downtown or wherever else you're going to go to all of it. Because how many do we have this? I mean, is there like 40 openings or something?
We have 20 different event listings.
Okay.
And 2 of those are ours, but there's a lot going on. And I feel like April is always really busy because it kind of kicks off Folk Fest week.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I know up at the Robotics Gallery, they're having the Eric and Pam Beeler exhibit, and that's a big Folk Fest related sort of one.
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, you did? Well, they were on the show, so that was good.
Okay, great.
But there's so many things. But what else is happening?
One that I'm really excited about is the Alcove, which is a new space of the Wings Stairways and Taku Lodge in the Wharf.
Oh.
And it's opening up with an exhibit by Jocelyn Ward. And I actually coincidentally saw some of the pieces, and they're very bright, very fun watercolors. So I highly recommend checking that out. I always really advocate for new spaces opening up in Juneau because I love to see that happen. So it's worth going. It's worth supporting.
Is it just right in where like the hangar would be, like in that
I believe
area?
So. Yeah. Okay. I'll need to walk through on Friday to find out, though, because I'm not entirely
But
sure
it's called myself. It's called the what?
The Alcove.
The Alcove. A new space.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Yep, okay. Yep. Add that to your first Friday visits.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up, this one's gonna be cool. It's just Natalie's doing so much cool stuff at Drip Drop Wonder Shop. I want to read this verbatim because I'm gonna get it wrong. Magical America, psychedelic post-apocalyptic jazz funk band, which sounds great. Described as one of the vibiest bands in town. So Magical America is the name of the band, I believe. She's having live music and a new gallery, not new gallery, but new exhibit opening up with her own artwork, as well as pieces by Crystal Worrell and other artists. So a lot of people represented there this month. Which
is exciting. Drip Drop Wonder Shop is great. Like the fact that it went from, you know, Natalie went from kind of an artist doing these kinds of shows to opening her own space, her own business. And she opened it in December. And now, so I'm really curious to see how it goes for her this summer with all the tourism season happening.
And she had the show last month in the Jack Gallery. So if you were in the Jack last month for First Friday and you liked what you saw, go to Drip Drop Wonder Shop.
Yeah, right month. There on the main street.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one that I have on my list was the Eric and Pam Beeler exhibit at the Alaska Robotics Gallery. You're going to talk about that later, though. But like you said, in my childhood, at least, huge part of like local folk fest history. And I just like those, what I believe they're woodblock prints that he did for the posters are just like ingrained in my memory.
Oh, wow.
Folk fest, so
yeah, they were on the show last week. So if you can go back and listen to that in the archives, if you want to hear about it all, it's a great honor to them. And,
yes,
it is. And all the work that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Annie Bartholomew is also going to be playing live music there. So,
oh, well, there you go. Yeah. That's a bonus.
Do you want to take one?
Sure. We have actually a location that doesn't normally participating this month. The Baranoff Hotel is hosting what we're calling Questscapes, a treasure map grand release party. So this is showcasing artistic masterpieces leading to real treasure and adventure. And this is, like I said, a grand release party of 5 treasure maps accompanied by live piano music.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
Sounds very intriguing.
It does. Wow, downtown is going to be popping off.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I mean, of course, you can always go to jahc.org/first-friday
mm-hmm.
or just go to jahc.org and you'll see the First Friday listing there. Mm-hmm. And it has all of the listings of all of the events. And if you're somebody who wants to participate in that, you just contact probably Rochelle the Jack, and you can get on that list for First Friday, and it's a great place. And you can also make sure you register your events on the calendar at the Jack, or you can also find that calendar at kto.org/calendar, and you can enter the event there. So we just host that calendar, which is the Jack's calendar. Mm-hmm. So what else is coming up for the Jack this month? Is there other things that we want to mention?
Oh, yeah, there's always other things, Boston. Coming up on the, well, let's start off with Folk Fest Week, since that's coming up right around the corner. We are holding the inaugural Folk Fest side stage at the newly opened Pottery Jungle on what I always forget street names.
It's on Seward Street and it's in the old canvas space.
Thank you.
Yep.
So that's a side stage that's happening the full span of Folk Fest, April 8th through 13th. There is an open stage open to the public from 4 to 6 every day. And then we have curated sets from 6 to 8 p.m. every night. It's all ages. Coffee and drinks are served. It's called Hydrate and Caffeinate, and it's pay what you can. So we're hoping that it's very accessible and open to everyone that wants to enjoy music through the week.
That's awesome.
More information on that is on our Facebook and Instagram page. You'll see the posts and events, and you can read read about all the sets there.
I know Taylor Dallas Vidig is involved in that and helping put all that together. And it's a great lineup of acts all throughout the week. So go check out the Facebook page to see who's playing. And if you want to play, you can just play between 4 and 6. So that's pretty cool.
And another minor little shout out to the Pottery Jungle. They have opened up for pottery, like wheel throwing classes and memberships. So if you're interested in that, go and talk to them and they'll give you more information. I already signed up.
It's a great new space and a great new opportunity for folks. So we probably have time for about one more thing.
One more thing. Okay. I think we're going to go stress-free.
Okay.
So
that's fine. Executive decision from Rochelle.
The last week of April, we have our monthly version of Stress-Free Art Night. And this month's theme is mixed media. So that is going to be on, I believe, Wednesday, April 24th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's a suggested donation of $5 to $10. You show up, all the materials are provided, and you just make stuff. It's a really fun event. Mm-hmm.
I love stress-free art. That is just so cool because you don't have to even think about what you could bring. You can just show up.
Yeah.
Bring $5 and you're in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I throw in one more really quick one? I do want to give a shout out to the Technically Art workshop we have on April 27th. The theme is how to create a wearable art piece. And we're going to have past artists who have participated in wearable arts there to talk about the process and everything. So if you have been interested but haven't really taken the first step into that whole idea, this is a great workshop to come to learn more about the process.
And we'll be talking about wearable art but it's in September, right?
September 21st and 22nd.
Yeah. So this is a great primer for that.
Yeah.
So
the theme is Neon Apocalypse.
Woohoo!
It is.
Well, Phil and Rochelle, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for being here. Gwyneth and of course, you can find out all of these events and more at jahc.org. I really appreciate you all coming in. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, Bartlett's Lunch and Learn is tomorrow. Music is medicine. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on your public media station, KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Hawk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Now I'm going to get this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it with my hand. Bryn Albanese is a musician and end-of-life doula who believes that music has a profound impact on our emotions. She uses music in her work to support individuals during their final stages. And tomorrow we'll be giving a brown bag lunch and learn at Bartlett Regional Hospital in partnership with the Juno Symphony. It's Wednesday tomorrow, April 3rd, from noon to 1 p.m. in classroom 205 AB at Bartlett, and it's free. So welcome Bryn and Charlotte from the Symphony. Thank you so much for being here. Gwyneth Cheesh, how are you? Wasa
iya ti. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. This is just wonderful.
I love it. And so tell me a little bit about who you are, Bryn.
Okay, well, you have to say my name with your last, with my last name with your hand, Albanese.
Albanese.
That's right. I'm from the Central Coast of California, up here to play with the Juno Symphony this week. And I'm a certified music practitioner and an end-of-life doula. And I just said to Charlotte, hey, do you guys think that you might like to have an educational session at some point? You know, because I know that they've been doing those, and music is medicine, good vibrations. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm also going to be working in the hospital hallways and with patients on the 4th, on April 4th, and then doing another session with a staff only in the next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you do? How does this work?
So being a certified music practitioner is very, very different than being a music therapist or a hospice musician. So what practitioners do is we prescribe music in the moment rather than taking a patient and going from point A to point B and or getting a patient to a certain point in their healing process. So a physical therapist will take their patient and get to an end goal. So will a music therapist. And they are contracted at hospitals. Having certification also allows me to be contracted with medical facilities. And what I do is I'm kind of the sweeper. I go around the hospital and I prescribe music in the moment for different patient conditions. So let's say somebody is having a lot of trouble in the cardiovascular area of their body. I would go in and talk to the nurses and say, what are they here for? How long have they been here? What's their age? And then choose music that's appropriate for their condition. So if somebody has had sepsis or they've come out of very, very difficult surgeries and procedures, I have to be very, very careful and also intuitive, besides using the science of intrinsic elements of live music, frequencies, vibrations, resonance, and then eventually what's called entrainment, where you are actually in training with the patient, trying to see if you might be able to find a type of music played in a certain way that will help the best with their healing process.
Wow.
For example, if I were to go in to the ICU, which I do often in the hospital that I work for, I work with Dignity Health down in Santa Maria, California, at the Marion Regional Medical Center. It's a 250-bed hospital, and I'm the only musician at the moment there. So I have to, when I go to the ICU, I'll ask, you know, who could use a bedside therapeutic music session? Oftentimes it's people who are very confused. There's Alzheimer's and dementia patients who live under the dementia umbrella who use music. When I use music with them, it helps them focus. It helps them focus away from the things that are uncomfortable and get them remembering, and the vibrations in their body get them remembering what it's like to be at home. Wow. Basically, it's extraordinary work. Yeah, so that's probably the best example. I can give you even more of an example. There was a woman that I worked with who had Lewy body dementia and ALS, which is just a horrific disease. The nurses were having such a hard time performing procedures on this patient. And I said, you know, she's been here. They said she's been here way too long. And I said, hey, you know, let me give it a shot. Let's go in and I'll go play some certain music for her. She had been a dancer, asked a little bit about her background. And so I started playing, and the nurses were able to get done 2 days worth of procedures in 30 minutes.
Wow.
So it calmed the patient, or rather refocused the patient to be able to focus on me or focus on the music. And she was moving her arms like they'd never seen before, kind of like a dancer, you know, put the arms up over her head. And with ALS, you lose a lot of body motion and body movement. So I have been privy. I mean, I've seen incredible, miraculous things happen just as a concert violinist, going from music as a performance, you know, playing for thousands of people and kind of playing a performance and how I see the music, how I feel the music, and I put it out to the audience. I now play music as a service, and I play music for patients, not as a performance. and not wanting to get my emotions out to them, but rather have our two emotions come together, the vibrations of the music and also the music that I've chosen. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Yeah. Because, you know, just, I mean, as a lay person, I think we all think about it when we watch a movie. We know how music in a movie can impact us or make a scene that much better when you watch a scene with and without music and you see the power of music and what it can actually do. And so this makes complete sense that it would be so helpful to patients in this way, like being able to, like the story you told about, then being able to do the surgery because the patient has been, you know, soothed or calmed and has been able to connect emotionally in a different way.
Crying.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots of crying. And some patients are like, thank you so much. I have not been able to cry for months about what's going on with me. Somebody with a terminal illness. As a doula, I work with clients who are terminally ill and use music a lot, especially towards the end of their journeys. It's called transition support. And I play wooden Native American style flutes. I have large bass, like a very low bass flute, because the vibrations are so slow and low. So it's incredible how you could see that music helps.
Well, I hope you can, I hope you get a lot of people tomorrow. I know you can, it's Music is Medicine, Good Vibrations. You can register. I'll put the link on our webpage today. It is tomorrow. And it's at Bartlett Regional Hospital. It's at room 205 AB at Bartlett. It's probably in that little building across from the main building. It's free. If you want to learn more about Bryn Albanese and this amazing work that she does, that is the thing to do. And you'll be playing, we're going to be talking with the symphony tomorrow. Yeah. Charlotte, well, they'll be back to talk about the actual concert that they're doing in collaboration with the youth ensemble Aurora Strings. So that'll be really fun tomorrow on our show. But I'm just wondering, maybe I see you brought a violin.
Yes,
so I thought, what a wonderful way to end the show today. If we want to hear a little something as we go out.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll be with music as well. So it's a musical PowerPoint presentation. And I hope to see a lot of people there. It's an interesting subject. A lot of people don't like to talk about death, but
is there a place that people can find out more about you? Yeah, BrynAlbanese.com. Yeah. That's BrynAlbanese.com. I'll also link that on our webpage today. So Bryn's going to try to use her backing track and her violin right here in the studio.
Yes.
And this is Juno Afternoon. Thanks for listening today. We're going to go out with a little Bryn Albanese.
Okay.